the EPA fines the operator of the Kensington mine $500,000 for environmental violations. And Skagway hosts a meeting with stakeholders to discuss how to address the most pressing needs of the port. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories and more are up next. The Environmental Protection Agency has fined Core Alaska over $500,000 for failing to comply with environmental regulations at the Kensington mine near Juneau. Over 200 wastewater violations were documented in a facility-wide inspection with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation in 2015. Violations included the release of acid rock drainage into Lower Slate Lake and lapses in environmental monitoring, assessments, inspections, and trainings. In a statement, the EPA's Enforcement and Compliance Assurance Director, Ed Kowalski, said, "Core Alaska can and must do better in order to comply with fundamental laws that protect people and the environment." As part of the settlement, Core Alaska is required to collect and treat acid rock drainage before discharging it into Lower Slate Lake. An EPA press release says the state of Alaska modified Kensington's permits to allow the discharge of residual acid rock drainage into Lower Slate Lake starting August 1st. Representatives from Core Alaska and the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation were unavailable for comment by broadcast time. The municipality of Skagway is working to maximize the use of its waterfront without sacrificing quality of life for its residents. Industry groups and local representatives sat down together at a committee meeting Thursday night. KHNS's Claire Strempel reports.
The committee of the whole meeting in Skagway brought together a diverse group with the same interest, the waterfront. It's the municipality's greatest asset. The meeting brought heavy hitters to the table: Yukon Minister of Energy, Mines and Resources, major cruise ship company executives, White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad, and the Assembly. They were asked to consider the community's input on the future of the port and bring forward their own concerns. Mayor Andrew Cremata set the tone for the meeting.
I think we all are familiar with the issues of the port. And like I say, we all have our own perspectives on what those issues are and how we can accomplish a solution. Obviously, we have a diverse population of people in Skagway, and they're all concerned about issues with the port, too, because it is our livelihood.
The Deepwater Port has brought lucrative cruise ship tourism to the small town, but other interests depend on it as well. Cargo and fuel barges need space, and a renaissance of the mining industry in the Yukon depends on the port for access to distant markets. Yukon Deputy Premier Ranj Play says the mineral economy in the Yukon is growing.
We are going through a strong cycle when it comes to the mineral sector. So what we want to be able to do is have a conversation with council, understand what's happening over from now until 2023, and do what we feel we need to do as partners with you to ensure that we have access to that deep water.
The Minto mine is coming back online, and representatives from the Yukon government anticipate growing needs at the port. They were quick to note that Skagway and the Yukon share a tourism interest that is based in their mining history. But now cruise ships bring in most of the tourism in Skagway. Holland America executive Charlie Ball says he doesn't want to foot the bill for any industrial infrastructure at the port. But Skagway should figure out a plan and name its price.
I mean, I think each part of the harbor needs to sustain itself in the long term, but certainly if there were changes to the way the berths work and it costs more to berth here, I think we would just put that into our economic models and it would make sense to come because Skagway is a very desirable place.
Assemblyman Orion Hansen says the key to success at the waterfront is keeping commercial and industrial interests separate.
The better we can separate those options, the better our port will function. We don't want to wait till the end of 2023. We want to take action soon and come up with a plan that really works.
He advocated for ORDOC remediation to be the first step to any changes at the waterfront. The municipality has many factors to consider as it moves forward with implementing hours worth of feedback from various stakeholders. Mayor Cremata closed the meeting by acknowledging that if each was a little upset with the outcome, it might be an indication of a compromise well done. To hear the whole meeting, visit our website at khns.org. In Haines, I'm Claire Strimple.
On Thursday, Governor Mike Dunleavy signed off on the state's capital budget passed by the legislature, but not before making a few line-item vetoes to the document. Senator Jesse Keel represents the Upper Lynn Canal in the state Senate. He says he is pleased with the infrastructure spending passed in the final capital budget.
That was providing the match for federal infrastructure money, highways, bridges, airports, and of course, the overhauls of the marine highway vessels, the annual maintenance that has to be done, keep those ships Coast Guard certified and on the water.
In addition, the capital budget resolves a complicated budget issue known as the reverse sweep, in which money from the Constitutional Budget Reserve is transferred to a number of different state bank accounts.
And that allows the college scholarships to go through, the WAMI medical education, and PCE to be paid, which is, of course, critical in our district.
Power Cost Equalization, or PCE, subsidizes energy in rural Alaska, which keeps residents' electric bills down. But the governor did veto spending on a number of items in the legislature's capital budget. Representative Sarah Hannon represents Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan in the State House of Representatives. She says she is particularly disappointed that the governor vetoed spending for addiction treatment.
Building addiction treatment programs, I think policy-wise, is a really important thing for us to be investing on if we want to truly impact crime in Alaska, where we know that most of our crime behavior has a link to addictive behavior health issues.
Hannon also worried about reduced capital budget funding for projects that help generate private sector jobs.
You know, so if you're talking about statewide weatherization programs through AHFC, those go to local small town contractors helping individual homeowners get weatherization done. You know, so that's good for local businesses.
The governor has yet to sign off on the legislature's operating budget. A number of items in that document, such as school bond debt reimbursement, will have a significant impact on communities in the Upper Lynn Canal. Senator Keel and Representative Hannon will host a series of meetings with constituents in Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan over the weekend and into next week. To see a complete schedule of their town halls and office hours, visit khns.org. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news on our website, khns.org. You can also check out our podcast on the NPR One app and Stitcher.